find all the case information you need faster. Smart litigators rely on Bloomberg Law's broad litigation news coverage and our market-leading dockets. Now with AI-driven search and analytics, customized alerts, and expansive state court coverage. Visit pro.bloomberglaw.com for everything you need to win.
Welcome to Cases and Controversies, a Supreme Court podcast by Bloomberg Law. I'm Kimberly Robinson.
And I'm Greg Storr.
Wait, what? Who are you? You're back?
I am, for 1 week only.
We'll take you when we can get you. What's been going on at the Supreme Court?
Well, the Supreme Court has largely sidestepped the controversial battle between states and parents over the rights of transgender children. Now, advocates on both sides of the fray, including the Biden administration, are urging the justices to step in. Joining us to talk about the issues bubbling up to the court and what might come next is Lee Nolan Soul, a senior staff attorney at the ACLU's LGBTQ and HIV project. That's a lot of letters. Lee, thanks for joining us. Before we jump into the disputes before the court right now, can you give us the lay of the land? What are we seeing from states when it comes to the rights of trans youths?
Yeah, so we're seeing, unfortunately, a whole wave of anti-trans legislation across a number of states. Some of these are targeted at youth. Some of them are targeted more broadly. But I think the kind of the most prominent one that we're seeing towards youth are these medical care bans that prohibits gender-affirming medical care for trans youth. And so this care is only prohibited when used to affirm a transgender youth's gender identity. And I think we have roughly 23 states maybe that have those bans in place right now.
And so you talked about there's sort of a whole host of laws that vary in many ways. Do we know how these laws have been affecting kids in these states? Is that something that, you know, we have an idea of?
Unfortunately, they're affecting them very poorly, and we do know that. And we've kind of hear that from a number of sources. So we hear anecdotes from the youth and the families themselves. We hear this from doctors, even from the Trevor Project, which is a suicide hotline for LGBTQ youth, that they see a bump in calls from states while they're debating these bills. So unfortunately, it's having a really detrimental impact on youth to kind of see their humanity and their rights being debated and legislated away.
So not just in states where these laws have passed, but where they're being even considered.
Correct.
So the Supreme Court so far has largely managed to stay out of the fight. There was this case in January that the court turned away. It was a school district appealing in a closely watched case over bathroom use by a transgender student. A big exception to that is the 2020 decision in the Bostock case involving job discrimination. Can you tell us about that case, and does it give us any indication of how the court might be thinking about laws that are aimed at transgender youths?
Yeah, so the Bostock case was, as you mentioned, an employment case that was technically three kind of consolidated cases. And there the court said that, you know, by its plain language, discrimination against a transgender employee is discrimination on the basis of sex, that you really can't discriminate against someone for their transgender status without implicating sex. And so, you know, we think that that is correct. And, you know, we're seeing these states trying to kind of pass these healthcare bans and some of the other laws to distance themselves from Bostock and that holding, and to try to argue that, you know, this isn't sex discrimination. And, you know, because that was under Title VII and this is the Equal Protection Clause, that it's different. But it's not, right? The analysis of discrimination might be different, but the question of whether there's a sex-based classification in the first instance is the same question, whether you're evaluating under Equal Protection or Title VII. And so we think that, you know, in these cases where these laws are written so clearly, where sex is the determining factor as to whether a trans youth can access this healthcare, that it is a sex classification and heightened scrutiny should apply.
So let's turn now to the cases that are currently pending before the justices. In particular, there are these three laws out of Kentucky, Tennessee, and Idaho. What do those laws do?
So, yeah, so they all, like I said, ban gender-affirming medical care for trans youth. And so I'm a little bit more familiar with the Idaho one there, but like the language there is, right, it lists certain procedures, and the operative language is if it's meant to affirm a gender identity different than your sex assigned at birth. And in Idaho, it carries a criminal penalty of a felony, punishable up to 10 years in prison, for a doctor providing this care to trans youth. If it's provided for any other purpose, it's permissible, it's legal. It's really just in the context of gender-affirming medical care for trans youth. The laws are similar in Kentucky and Tennessee. Those ones are not criminal, but they are still civil bans and have essentially, you know, shut down care for youth entirely across the board, right? It takes that decision away from parents, families, and doctors, and just says it's never medically necessary. And that's not how the practice of medicine works in this country.
And you mentioned that you're part of the team that's challenging at least one of these laws in Idaho. Can you lay out what are the arguments for why these laws are unconstitutional?
So there's two main arguments. So the first one I've kind of mentioned was an equal protection argument that banning this care only on the basis of sex and gender identity and transgender status is subject to heightened scrutiny and violates the Equal Protection Clause, that the states do not have a justifiable reason for these sweeping bans. The second claim is a parental rights claim under the Due Process Clause. And, you know, this country and this court has long recognized that parents have a right to the care, custody, and control of their children, and that includes directing medical care. And the states have essentially said to these parents, like, that's not your decision to make when it comes to your transgender children, and have taken that decision away while still allowing this care in other contexts for adults and for other kids. So those are the two claims, the equal protection and the due process rights of parents.
And now you mentioned that these are not the only three states where there are laws like this. How have lower courts so far addressed these various challenges? I mean, is it pretty much a mixed bag?
For the district courts, it actually has been heavily in favor of enjoining these bans and finding them to be likely unconstitutional. And those are courts, you know, not necessarily liberal courts, right? That's Alabama as well, and Florida and Arkansas. Almost all of the district courts have enjoined these laws. In Arkansas, after trial, the court permanently enjoined the ban. That has been less of the case at the circuit courts. So the 6th and the 11th have decided not to apply heightened scrutiny to these cases. And the 7th Circuit recently heard oral argument and kind of one day, absent a motion from either party, just kind of sua sponte, issued a stay of the preliminary injunction on their own. And we're anticipating a decision from that circuit. So that was an anomaly. And in the 8th Circuit, oral argument is in about a month. And there, the court took the case en banc before a panel hearing, which was also quite the anomaly. So it is concerning.
With all those different decisions and with the Biden administration as Solicitor General asking the court to take up the Tennessee case, is it pretty likely the court is gonna agree to take up at least one of these cases and schedule arguments next term?
You know, it's so hard to predict, and I don't like to be in the business of that. I think there is a good chance that they will. And if it's not one of these cases, I think it'll be one in the future. I think it's only a matter of time before the court will weigh in on this. But we are hopeful that it is one of these cases, that it is an important issue that's impacting trans youth all over the country. And we think that the Sixth Circuit got it wrong and that the court needs to weigh in.
Now, the issue in the Idaho case, at least in front of the justices, is a little bit different. Instead, it's really a battle about the scope of the lower court's remedy. Can you explain that for us?
Yes. So in Idaho, the district court issued a statewide injunction, and for a number of reasons. So one, you know, it's a state law, and the court found it to be likely unconstitutional and therefore enjoined it statewide. We also argue that the statewide injunction is necessary to give our two plaintiffs the relief that they're asking for, to be able to access this care that is otherwise criminally banned. Idaho, which is now represented by Alliance Defending Freedom, asked the Supreme Court to essentially rule that what they call universal injunctions are always improper, that injunctions that extend beyond the plaintiffs are inherently improper. And this was kind of teed up previously in Florida in the Griffin case regarding a drag ban, where I believe it was Justice Gorsuch in a concurrence on declining to hear the case said that, you know, they're skeptical of these universal bans. So that is the issue that Idaho has brought before the Supreme Court here. We don't think this is an appropriate vehicle for that question because we do think that the statewide ban is necessary for our plaintiffs to get relief. But Idaho also asked, you know, in the alternative, the very final paragraphs of their brief, that the Supreme Court consider this as a cert petition on the merits and to hear the case prior to an appellate decision from the Ninth Circuit. So it's both, but the main focus is the scope of the injunction.
So we've been talking mostly about these bans on gender-affirming care that states have, and that's the issue that is in front of the court right now. But what other issues are there out there that you are tracking especially closely that you think are going to have to be or likely to be decided by the Supreme Court, if not right now, in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of issues that we're tracking, unfortunately, that are impacting trans Americans. And, you know, whether or not they make it to the Supreme Court remains to be seen. I think it'll depend a little bit on what the outcomes are of these other cases, the kind of analysis around heightened scrutiny. But you mentioned the bathroom bans. There's a lot of cases right now out there about schools and what happens in schools regarding pronoun usage and also restrooms and things like that. So I think that's likely to be a big one as well. And then, you know, I think these healthcare bans are for youth are really just the beginning, that we're seeing other states look at ways of banning care for adults. And that also might end up before the Supreme Court at some point.
Well, thank you so much for sort of taking a deep dive into that. And we'll see what the court does with those in the coming weeks, or maybe even sooner on the Idaho case.
Yes, thank you.
Well, that was really interesting, Greg. You know, just to make it clear for our listeners, the state bans from Tennessee and Kentucky are up on a cert petition. And so the court will consider those, I don't know, sometime in the future. It was set to be heard this week, but they rescheduled them, said, well, we'll get to that. And then the Idaho case is likely set on an emergency application, but there's a chance that they could just take that up as a cert petition. They've been doing that a lot lately. They really enjoyed that step.
They have been, and pretty much everybody is suggesting it now. The intersection of those two things, because as we discussed in the segment, the Idaho case, at least as it is presented to the court, is really about the scope of the injunction, not the underlying issue. So how they're going to, you know, in what order they're going to deal with those cases, you know, how they intersect with each other may tell us a lot about what's likely to happen.
Yeah, well, we'll keep our eye on that.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Cases and Controversies will be back next week to discuss the upcoming March sitting, which features major cases on social media and the abortion drug mifepristone.
Until then, you can follow along with all the latest Supreme Court news at news.bloomberglaw.com.
Smart litigators find winning arguments faster with Bloomberg Law. Our market-leading docket coverage has AI-driven search and analytics, customized alerts, and expanded state court coverage. And that's not all. Visit pro.bloomberglaw.com for everything you need to win.